to God, lover, beloved, and love. Amen. At the beginning of our calendar year, we celebrate the end of the Christmas season. Happy New Year, everyone. This is the Epiphany, the feast of the Magi from around the world who have come to pay homage, to worship Jesus as the promised ruler of the world, the Messiah, the one who sets things right. In this story, like so many of the stories in Holy Scripture, we have, as it were, the entirety of the Christian life in a few short verses. And I would like to use this story of the ancient Magi, those ancient astronomers and astrologers who looked to the sky to understand the seasons and divine plans written in them, and who traveled a long way in community to attain what they had seen. Now, I would like to use this story as an example of how we have been invited to walk a grand journey ourselves, but mostly how we have been called to invite others to this journey as a community of the stars, enraptured by the great purposes of God in this world. But before I get to this journey itself, one moment to stress a belief that we hold as people on this journey. That is, God does indeed have a plan and purpose for this world. We cannot assume everyone we meet on the way has this same belief. For some in this world, maybe even family members, this world is an untethered experience of suffering and trauma. For some in this world, maybe even close friends, this world is a chaotic battlefield of might is right. For some in this world, maybe a neighbor you cross paths with, there is no great goal or plan beyond the goal of paying rent or eating or enjoying oneself. Not everyone has a belief that God has created this world from its beginning to have a great future and to be a place of healing and hope and hospitality for all of God's beloved children. So before we get into the great story of the Magi, a moment to check in with our friends, families, and neighbors, and maybe even ourselves. We are on a journey in this life, and it has a great future. Its end is in God, and its path leads to good pastures. Do you believe it? Are you struggling in fifth wave pandemic reality to hold on to it? Don't worry if you are at belief's end. If so, you have come to the right place. Here at the parish of St. Dunstan, we meet again and again in whatever way we are permitted to listen again to the words of our spiritual ancestors, eat the bread of heaven, and commit ourselves to this faith's journey. That God has a plan and purpose for this world, and we are on a journey to attain it. These ancient Magi stand before us as examples. Examples of how to journey through this life and how to stay on the path God has placed us despite what comes our way. Okay. I think I have said this before, but the journey to God can be described as the journey to truth, goodness, and beauty. Those ancient transcendentals, as they are called. Truth, the understanding of what is real. Goodness, the measure of what is right. Beauty, the experience of joy and awe. Truth, goodness, beauty, the ends of our journey. I think a lot about these categories. My favorite theologian wrote a bunch of books about them and helps me to frame my own life within them. Truth, the pursuit of the real. Goodness, the pursuit of a well-lived life. Beauty, the pursuit of overwhelming joy. My favorite theologian has wondered about these categories, especially as they relate to how followers of Jesus have tried to persuade people to become Christians. I don't know if you've ever thought about persuading someone to become a Christian before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Whether you have or haven't, though, we are a community of followers of Jesus that grows and shrinks based on whether people are compelled to follow this person, Jesus. And so If you have thought of persuading someone to become a Christian, listen to how my favorite theologian suggests you do it. And if you've never thought of persuading someone to become a Christian, listen anyway. Maybe you'll like what you hear. My favorite theologian has suggested that when it comes to persuading people to become a Christian or to follow Jesus, Christians have often started by trying to convince the other person of the truth of following Jesus, as in, you need to become a Christian because it's the true religion. Or, you must become a Christian because everything else is false. And this is what it means to become a Christian. You have to believe these 10 things and never stop believing them because they are the truth. While my favorite theologian certainly believes that Christianity contains everything necessary for one's spiritual well-being, he's also unconvinced that people will become convinced of being a Christian through a learning of doctrine or dogma or, as it were, truth. We will not see this congregation grow by merely knocking on our neighbors' doors and giving them the 5 reasons why what they believe is wrong and what we believe is true. It just won't work. The ancient Magi also did not begin their journey based on truth. In fact, they didn't really know what they were looking for when they started. They didn't know the scriptures. They had to ask about that. They started their journey because they saw a star. Because of the star, they found the truth of where the Messiah was to be born. Because of the star, they found scripture and the house where Jesus was. Truth was a fruit of the star they encountered. My favorite theologian also suggests that the pursuit of goodness is not the place to start persuading people either. We will not, he thinks, and I agree, persuade people to become a Christian by telling them how to live their lives. While the spiritual journey that we are on with Jesus does come with ethical implications, you know, do not murder and all that, we will not be a persuasive companion on the way to others if we tell them that being a follower of Jesus is all about ethical rules, as in, you should become a Christian so you have to stop swearing or smoking and drinking and dating and all the like, or you can become a Christian if you want, but you'll have to start being a better person first. No, the good life or ethical living is not the place to start when it comes to persuading people to follow Jesus. The ancient Magi did not begin their journey to Jesus because they felt they had to change the way they were living. No, they began as astrologers and ended as astrologers. But on the way, something happened so that by the time they reached the baby Jesus, they had become generous, giving, and attentive astrologers. Why do we so often only welcome people into our faith community if they change their self first? Why must someone become something else before they can belong? We will not see our community grow this year if we go out and tell our friends, families, and neighbors how to live their lives. A good, generous, loving, kind, hopeful life, all that will come because they will have encountered the star. So how do we persuade people to become Christian? Well, we don't, really. Rather, we place before their eyes something beautiful. Like the star that was placed before the Magi's eyes, we bring our family, friends, and neighbors to a place where they encounter and become enraptured by something beautiful, and God does all the rest. God does all the persuading. We're just the matchmakers, the star aligners. If we want to persuade someone to become a Christian, we need to invite them to the shining star of our coffee hour or a spaghetti dinner. There, they will have an epiphany of beauty like those Magi, and then they will encounter Jesus. If we want to persuade someone to become a Christian, we need to introduce them to our Sunday liturgy with the music and the stories and the confession and the absolution and the peace and the communion, the bread and the wine, please God, soon, wine, because there they will have an epiphany of beauty And in this space, this beautiful space, they will encounter Jesus. I wonder what you think is the most beautiful part of our community. Take some time, think about it. What is the most beautiful part of our community to you? I wonder what about our community shines bright like a star. Isaiah wrote thousands of years ago, and it is true today as much as then. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. God has light for our friends, families, and neighbors this year. God has a light for your heart too. Maybe we're the ones meant to shine it, so that people can join us on this journey in life, on our way to a glorious future in God with Jesus Christ, our friend and helper. Amen.